We're so glad you could be here. I know you got an armful, but I'm going to ask you to read a scripture. From John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. All right, release the word in the name of the Lord.
John 2, 1 through 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
Thank you. Now, put a little marker there, because we're going to come back to it. Last thing we do. Genesis. Right at the beginning there. Well, chapter 2, Genesis. Now, in these first couple of chapters, there's 3 Hebrew words that is good to know. The first one is bara. B-A-R-A, bara. And it's used in the very, very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And bara means created. More specifically, it means to create something out of nothing. The Lord has a way that he can just say it. He doesn't even have to say it. He can think it. He can just want it. And it comes into existence. That word means to create something out of nothing. It's what he's doing with us. He's changing us. It's we who are nothing are becoming something. And the other Hebrew word, Asa, and it's spelled A-S-A-H, Asa. And it's used in these beginning verses a lot too. Asa means to make or made, could be in past tense, and God made. See? So, in other words, it's making something out of existing materials. The third Hebrew word is found in the second chapter, verse 7. And this word is Yatzar, Y-A-T-Z-A-R. Yatzar means to form, like a potter would, to form the clay to make a piece of pottery, a vessel, you see. And that's what that means. You know, take the clay, how they do it, spin it around, and they shape it, and they form what they want. And that's the word that's used in verse 7 of chapter 2, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So it helps to understand those 3 words so you know whether it's God creating something out of nothing, and there's times when he'll use that. Now there's a scripture over in, I think it's 45th chapter of Isaiah where he uses those words. But anyhow, we want to talk about this forming a little bit. And we're going to work our way back to John chapter 2 and those big pots that could hold 20 or 30 gallons of water. You see, How many pops was it? Do you remember? Six. Six is the number of man. You see. And they're formed. Now, let's go to, we'll go in order here where this word is found. Isaiah 64, verse 8. We're going to end up with the wine of the kingdom. You want to become the wine of the kingdom?
Amen.
Yes, we do. 64, 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. And you're our potter. And we all are the work of your hand. See, we're the clay. We're that old clump of dirt, dust of the ground. He takes that and he's going to mold us into what he wants us to be. And it's important to realize, Lord, I'm the clay. You're the potter. You're the one that can mold me into what I'm to be. And that's quite a thing. You know, Jeremiah says, the Ethiopian can't change the color of his skin. The leper can't change his spots. And neither can you who are accustomed to do evil do good. It's just impossible. Because it's your nature is the problem. Not so much what you do. What you do comes out of what you are, you see. So it's our very nature is the problem. And God's working on that. But then it's also the work that he does that's like a forming. He's the potter.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, next is in Jeremiah 8. 6 verses and 18. 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise. Amazing how many times the Lord starts off when
arise.
He starts speaking. He says, arise. Get up. He told Ezekiel, Ezekiel, arise. Stand up on your feet. I'm going to talk to you. And that's important. You got to stand up on your feet because you got to be predetermined you're going to walk in it before you know what he's going to say. You see? All right, arise. Go down to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my word. Oh, Lord, do that for us. Cause us to be able to hear your word. Then I went down to the potter's house, quick like a rabbit, because I wanted to hear those words. DeBose translation. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. Thank God he didn't just toss it away, but he said, I'll remold it, I'll make it into a different vessel. So, you know,
yeah.
God knows what he's doing, but, you know, if he fouls up, redo it. I don't think he'll foul up, though. He made it again into another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, the clay doesn't tell the potter what he wants to be. He decides what he wants you to be. And that's what Paul talks about in the 12th right. chapter of 1 Corinthians, that he puts every member of the body of Christ into the kind of ministry that he wants them to be. See? So don't preset yourself to say, well, I want a ministry. I want to be like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel. You don't want to be like Jeremiah. He was a weeping prophet. He went through a lot. But God predetermines what he wants you to be, and he molds you. In verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, or O house of the body of Christ, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you're in my hand, O house of Israel. Okay, that's where you want to go on this one. He said, you're in my hand. Mold you? Well, I can. Let's look at one more. Lamentations, that's right at the end of Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations too. He's lamenting over the house of Israel. Fourth chapter. Verse 2. the precious sons of Zion, that's us, comparable to fine gold. How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? You're going to be an earthen vessel. Got that old, you know, made from the dust of the earth, your earthen vessel. God's making you into a new vessel. And he makes you into a vessel because he's going to pour something in. Most of himself. But that's not the end of what he's going to do, you see. So you're probably beginning to see already, because how many times we use this second chapter of John, he turns water into wine. Man, it's going to be an instant process. He did not go out and plant seeds, wait for it to come up vines, wait for the grapes to grow on the vine. And he didn't pick the grapes, and he goes squish them, smash them, whatever he does, and, you know, all the process of making the wine, waiting for it to ferment and everything. He just cut it short in righteousness and cut out all the process. Lo and behold, there's some process anyhow. All right, let's go back to chapter 2. Don't you find answers? They wanted wine. And it says here that, you know, what they would normally do, they'd have the best wine out first as soon as they start getting a little inebriated. Then they bring out the bad stuff. They won't know the difference. But this wine that was presented was the very best of all. We're going to become the wine of the kingdom. Now, the first thing that's needed, we've got to have those water pots. Got to have 6 of them, the number of man. And hold 20 to 30 gallons of water. You know, that's not one of those little vases you've seen around the house. Lord says, I'm going to make you a vessel, and I'm going to make you a vessel that holds a whole lot of me. And I'm going to pour myself in, you see. So there has to be the clay. And the Lord forms you and makes you a potter. And then he tells these guys, his servants, you know, fill that with water. So there has to be those people that can minister the water of life. Because once you become a vessel, you're not to be an empty vessel.
That's right. Amen.
No empty heads in the kingdom.
Amen.
So you got to have the servers that can just put that water in. You need all kind of people in the body of Christ. It's like in Matthew 25, they had the, what was it there? That 5 foolish virgins, 5 wise virgins. That's 10, but 12 is the number of government. Oh, but there's also the ones that shout out, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." And we've got 11. Need one more. Then there's the dealers that are able to minister the oil of the kingdom. We've got 12, see. There always has to be a certain amount. And here we've got 6 pots. They can hold 20, 30 gallons. Whole bunch of living water coming in. We've got to have people that can minister this water. Fill up these vessels. Then, once you become a vessel and you're all full of the water of life, process, it ain't over yet. Now you got to be taken to the head man. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a job of lugging these things full of water, you see. And at the command of the Lord, this water is presented to the head of the feast. And lo and behold, when he drinks it, and this is the best wine of all. You see, yeah, there was some process wiped out, you know, as far as the grape growing and stuff. But at the same time, there was a lot of work involved, a lot that God had to do with us. And there had to be some other people involved in making us the vessels. And then after you become the wine, you say, well, now we're the miracle wine of the kingdom. That's it, right? No, not quite yet. Now there has to be the process of getting that wine to flow through you. Mm-hmm. See? Because nothing is to be obtained and retained. It's to be obtained and turned loose. It's like in John 7. He that is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink and drink and drink. And out of his most inner being shall flow rivers of living water, you see. So he wants to fill you up with the wine of the kingdom. And then it's to flow through you. You have a purpose. You're not here just by chance. Mm-hmm. God has you here for a purpose. And he's molding and making. And if you mess up and just become a broken vessel, he's not going to get rid of you altogether. He's going to reshape you, remold you. Get to work. Let's go, guys. We've got to get this thing. Get it right, you see. Like we said, it's hard to get into the will of God. When you get there, hard to get out, too. When God sets his mind, he's going to bless you. You're going to be blessed. But like it or not, he's going to bless you, you see. So, you're becoming something. Vessels of the Lord, you're becoming the new wine of the kingdom. We lay a lot of store on communion, and I'm not against communion, not at all. However, Jesus told the disciples, he says, I'll not drink of this wine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. The communion of the New Testament corresponds to the peace offering in the Old Testament. The Old Testament peace offering, God partook of the offering and the people took of the offering. It's God and the person making the offering, both partaking of the offering. And peace has come as a result of you and God partaking of each other, you see. And so when you get to the New Testament and you come to the what we call the communion, partaking of the bread and the wine, I'd say I'm not against communion, but boy, it really needs to be that he's partaking of it and you're partaking of it too. And it's creating a oneness, you see. So there's a reason for this wine, turn the water into the wine, you see, because you're going to become the wine of the kingdom. And the Lord says, I'm not partaking of this thing until I partake new with you in the kingdom. That new wine, see. And that's what you're becoming so that the Lord can partake of. He says, I like a good drink of wine. See, this master of the feast here says, wow, man, y'all saved the best wine to last. Yeah, God's making us the best wine. And you say, well, when is he going to do it? Am I going to be the last? Well, if you're the last, you're going to be the best.
Right.
But you're becoming the wine of the kingdom for the master.